Please do me a favor and set your cell phones on stun. And I'm going to call this meeting of the Little Calumet River Basin Development Commission for July 11th, 2018 to order. Will you all please stand for the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Lambert, roll call, please. Here.
Here.
Here. Here.
Here.
Present. Present. All right, let's do this rolling along. Approval of the minutes from June 13, 2018. Corrections, modifications, motions, what say you?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes as presented.
Second. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Let them be out there forever. Next is a chairman's report. Welcome. It's nice to see a full crowd as we continue to work on the Little Cal Flood Control Project. $275 million man-made project. That if you don't pay attention to it, things like that happen right there. So every breath I take and why I sit here since that event is to make sure we do everything possible to make sure something like that doesn't happen to the community again. We're here first and foremost as a flood control entity as it relates to our partnership with the federal government and the Army Corps of Engineers. Every time I look at those pictures, it really causes a different perspective. And it's important to always take a look at what happened in the past, because if you don't make sure you study that history, you're bound to repeat it. So be respectful for us, please, as we go through this meeting. Everybody will get a chance. We're going to work through the project, but we're going to also make sure that we get things done in a very efficient, professional manner. Now, for those of you who haven't been here before and looking at the faces, there's a lot. This is a different type of a setup. Everybody up here has experience in the private sector having something to do with flood control, construction, engineering, real estate, finance. So these are people that all have background in what we're doing here. One important thing that's different from the rest of the region is none of us work for the government. So we're here doing this because this is something we're doing to help improve our community. So keep that in mind, is it's a little bit different than what you see elsewhere. This is the one project I think that's truly regional. Not too many things as far as water get involved with geopolitical type of things. Water flows downhill, goes to the lake. That's how it works. We are very much more prepared in case we get 10 gallons of water for our 5-gallon bucket. Because you can see what happens when Mother Nature takes on a certain situation here. We're never going to beat Mother Nature, but we've got to be ready when that happens, because it will. Okay, moving along. Next up is the finance report. Approval of the claims for July 2018. We need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we approve the claims for July 2018 in the amount of $593,361.36.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
All right, let's talk about the bills. Mr. Repay.
As always, we'll go through some of the larger bills and claims, and then we'll, I guess I'll ask for questions or comments after that. We'll begin with Applied Ecological Services, which is for the restoration of the Griner Nature Preserve. If you remember, we were doing some work in Lateral 6, which caused some damage to the Griner Woods, which is the Shirley Hines Land Trust. We entered into agreement to have Applied Ecological Services correct that. They have completed their work, and now we're on to the monitoring phase of that project. That claim was $143,074. Next is for Dyer Construction for the work that they're doing at 35th and Chase for the grade adjustment. As you know, that in the past we've had to put up those gates. The city of Gary has, along with NDOT, has been putting them up. And it's a cumbersome process with a lot of bolts and pieces, and trying to do that in the middle of a storm, kind of difficult, so the decision was to actually put it up and over in that area, so it removes the man-made or infiltration and use of trying to block water. We won't have to worry about that now. That will be automatically put in place And they're finishing up the work right now with seeding. We're going to do inspection, and then once we have the as-builts, that will be then redefined, and the Army Corps' handbook is no longer needed for a closure. That amount is $94,833. $65,915 is for the Kennedy Avenue Bridge, as you know, and we're still, according to them, on schedule to have that bid out in November for Kennedy Avenue Bridge to be raised. Once again, to remove another closure that the town of Highland and the city of Highland have to participate when the water gets up there. $41,281 for the hydraulic modeling from Grant Street in Gary to the confluence of Little Cal all the way out to the marina, as well as going back to Grant Avenue in Hobart. That's for $41,281. We expect a report from SEH at the next meeting, which I believe is August 8th. So we'll have a hard copy, and then I'll have them present to the rest of the board here and everyone else at our August meeting. $7,000 for the public pump station inspections by Great Lakes Electrical Maintenance. We've had some blockages that had to be removed by Northern Indiana Mechanical, ranging from $5,200 the $2,200, and then Wiltshire Excavating. Most of that work, I think all that work, has been done through Hart's Ditch. The largest one is for $68,550, and then we've had to do some restoration work for some of our access points. As you know, Hart's Ditch is very difficult to access, and so in the areas that we have taken equipment in, we wanted to make sure that that it looks like we left it. There's a claim for $43.94 for reimbursement for pump repairs that's consistent with our agreement with the town of Highland, very similar to the agreement we have with the city of Hammond and the town of Munster, if a pump station is acceptable under the Army Corps standards and there is a repair, we split it 50-50 so long as they're acceptable. So with that, I sort of hit some different ones, and if there's other ones, I can certainly speak. Garcia Consulting for their assistance with our inspection process. Since we don't have staff, we need them, their help to run up and down the gates to make sure that they're functioning. So we use some of their people power.
All right. Any questions for Mr. Repay as it relates to the bills? There's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Dave
Castellano.
Yes.
Ron
Whitaker.
Yes.
Whitaker.
Yes.
William
Baker. Yes. All right, Dan, moving right along.
So I'll go to my report first, and then anything that I haven't touched on, I will address under the project tracker. 35th and Chase, as we talked about, they're in the final phases of it. They were out seeding at least yesterday, and I know they're putting the blankets down. Once that gets accomplished, then we'll be complete. The trick about this is we're also closing down Harrison Avenue. Harrison closed down at around Gilroy Stadium starting on Monday. So we don't really want to keep both of these roads closed at the same time. But Harrison has started now, and that should be complete hopefully by Thanksgiving. The next projects that we have online are the grade adjustments for Clark Street and the Chase Street Pedestrian Bridge, which will allow access over Little Cabot River on Chase Street. Those will be advertised on the 20th and the 27th of this month with a August 8th opening. The contractor will have 70 days to complete, so that should be complete by Thanksgiving once all the contracts get worked out. We mentioned briefly with Garcia helping us with the inspections. We did complete the Griffith, Gary, and NDOT inspections of all the gates, stations, levees the week before the 4th of July, which was pretty cool. Only 95 degrees in the shade, 10 days. But for the most part, everything checked out fine. The pump stations were fine. We have a couple of gates that we need to work on. And then some videotaping of the culverts in Marshalltown, which we will do before the final sign-off by Bill and the group at the Corps. We have a Lake Station levy RFQ that's in process. We have it drawn up. Legal is looking at it right now, and that should be on the street here by the end of this week, hopefully. That's to build the levy between 94 and Liverpool on the east side of Deep River, right by the dam. So we've acquired almost all the properties that we need in that area, and so the next step, of course, is to design a levy to help protect those folks that have been affected by those floods for a very long time. Hart's Ditch, we met with Lake County, and I appreciate Lake County's efforts, Commissioner Tippy and the surveyor, Mr. Emerson, to allow us and start that discussion. We believe that they'll be taking it over and make it a regulated drain, which allows them to be in charge of the project, and we're going to then discuss later in August here how we're going to finance it, which is a pretty important aspect of it. Hobart Railroad Bridge, all contracts have been signed. The Deep River model, as I discussed really briefly with the SEH, they'll be ready and due for a presentation on its findings, which will also coordinate with what we need to do with the levee construction or the levee design for Lake Station. It will help them to understand how high that levee needs to be. So with that, I'll move on to Project Tractor briefly to see if I've missed anything. Hermit's Lake hasn't been drawn down, neither has the detention pond for Hammond Sanitary. They've been both notified. There's no end result to it, but they're aware that they have money available that has been approved through their application. Neither is Lake Station Stormwater, but they have started to work on that project. I guess their engineering firm had a small fire. So they're going to get on that as soon as possible. We are still acquiring the 30 properties that were still outstanding. We're still working on getting title work for the pump station easements. And as I said before, Lake Station acquisitions, I want to say, are down to 3 parcels, and 2 of which are owned by the city of Lake Station. And we have a meeting scheduled for, I believe, the 17th, if my memory serves me correctly, to meet with the mayor and his attorney. So with all that, I will entertain any questions.
All right, any questions for Mr. Repay? What's going on in the field?
Yeah, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Repay, can you review, you talked about the Harrison Street Bridge and Chase Street Bridge and what the implications are of what will happen as a result of that. What are we currently bound by in terms of closures in the event that we have unforeseen weather, and what this does for us?
Right. So I guess just a general education. One of the first closures that has to happen in the event of high water is the Chase Street closure. It's one of the lowest besides Colfax and Calhoun. So we try to take out, I guess, as a general rule of thumb, human intervention in doing that. And you know, there's always trouble when you have multiple closures, Colfax, and then you've got 35th, and then ultimately Harrison is the third one on the line. So by raising each one of these closures and taking out the fact that I don't have to call Chief Bradley at the Gary Fire Department and ask that he bring the fire department down there to close it, it helps everybody. It helps us with the coordination, and allows them to have more people power to do other emergencies that occur during these flood events. So we are slowly taking out the closures that are necessary to prevent flooding. So by taking out these closures, it's protecting folks. If it happens that, you know, guaranteed it always rains on a weekend or a holiday, and so, you know, when people are on vacation, you know, the last time, and I should have talked about it, you know, July 4th, most people got close to 3 inches of rain that night, and then some other folks got an additional 2.5 inches of rain on the 5th of July and knocked out some power. So, of course, that's all holidays, and so by having these eliminated, if it ever was to rise to that level, we wouldn't have to worry about finding enough people or material or someone's on vacation. So slowly, these are the ones that we're going to take care of. Ultimately, I would imagine we're going to go to Grant Street, although Grant Street would be pretty expensive. But by doing Kennedy going back the other way, now that takes out another opportunity for traffic to keep flowing. You know, we did it a few years back with Columbia in partnership with the town of Munster and the city of Hammond. We raised Columbia Avenue. So now when you close in that area, if you close down Northcott, you're not closing down in the past. We'd have to close down Columbia as well. So now you're limiting all traffic to Cabot Avenue or all traffic to Indianapolis Boulevard, which is starts to cause a lot of trouble. And things that we've learned from since 2008 is communication was one and transportation was another. It basically 2008 cut off everyone from north to south, couldn't get over except for Klein Avenue, which is something not good for the economy either, because no one can get to the work at any of the places up north and people can't get home or wherever they're going south. So
Maybe you don't know the exact number, of course, but in terms of bags, elimination, rough estimate.
I should know this after all these times. I mean, I'm going to guess. Harrison alone, I believe, is 6,000. And we have it, and I should just go up on our website, because the manual is there for the closure. I would guess Harrison's 6,000, and the panels are at Chase. And then we've taken out, if we take out Clark, that's another couple thousand. And I forgot to even mention Georgia, which we did a few years back. So it's starting to get into real amount of sandbags. I mean, this whole process, I believe in Gary alone, was 33,000 sandbags, which is not possible by any stretch of the imagination to do. So at least we couldn't store that many, and nor could we get that many filled in a short period of time. So by getting the low-hanging fruit and getting, you know, the Harrisons and the Clarks and the Georgias, that all helps. You know, it'd have to be a really very large event for us to start closing down Broadway and Grant, but not to say that it can't happen, but those are, you know, of course, they're five lane both ways, or yeah, there's two and plus a turning lane. So those are the larger ones we'll eventually have to get to if we choose. I would imagine, looking at it, I would do Broadway first before Grant, just because that bridge is in the condition that it's in, but those are going to be down the line.
Okay. Thank you. That's all, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions from Mr. Repay? What's going on? You mentioned about what's going on at Hobart. Is that going to be done as far as the marsh this year? How many more years?
The mitigation project? That's a four-year, five-year, three-year. Three more years. We're in year two.
And three more years.
Right.
Right.
Because you have to plant them, then you spray for the invasives, and you take out all that, and then there's a monitoring period after that.
Okay. Anything else for Mr. Ripe?
Is SCH going to be ready to present their proposals next meeting?
They updated. They sent me an email updating. All their models have been run. They ran them to the 2008 event and the 2018 event. So for inundation of all areas, going back to Deep River, going back to Grant Street, as to what it's going to look like. What they're trying to do is make sure the models are running properly, double-check them, and then calibrate them again, and then they will show you. They've given me a clip as to what it's looks like. It's not worth putting up on the screen because people would be confused. It's just a big green blob to you. So, but they've got it ready, and they just want to have a check with another hydraulic engineer to make sure that their work and their thinking and their calibration was all correct.
Going once, going twice, moving right along. Next up is the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Mrs. Mills. Maybe use Dan's, because they know that one works.
Good evening. Natalie Mills with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Thank you for having us. First of all, I would like to introduce our new Deputy Commander, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Hayden. Just for everyone's awareness, our former Lieutenant Colonel is recently retired. I'd like to provide a couple updates for you at this time regarding the levee system performance. Back in February, there were those heavy rains, and during that time, there was a segment of wall that was leaking. On the 5th of June, the team went out and inspected the wall. And so we provided recommendations to our division office on how to move forward. And so what we're doing right now is called a PIR, which is a project implementation report. And what that is basically a recommendation on how much it's going to cost and what we are recommending for repairs. So that report is underway, and we anticipate sending it to our division office in August. If it's favorable, they can approve it, and they would go to headquarters, and then we would work on getting the funding required to do the repairs. So since that segment is active in the inspection program, it's like you're calling your insurance now, that the cost would be borne by the Corps. So that's unfortunate that happened, but the good news is that, you know, we're all active and we're using the inspection program. Just as an update, the last couple of months, there were questions regarding the that rain event, and I provided some questions, but we were asked to provide them with the signatures. I did provide them to Dana, just for everyone's awareness, and those have been passed off Mrs. Whitaker. Sorry, thank you. As far as the letter of map revision, the public notices have run, the public notices have run in the newspapers in the 90-day appeal period. If there are no appeals, the Lomar will become active in November of this year. The levy certification for Bird Street, Marshalltown, and Gary, that's this levy system is also underway. Similar concept just over on the East Reach, so we'll be looking to work with FEMA on certification. That process will certainly take a lot longer because it's a bigger section. So we're going to be coordinating in trying to plan for submittal in 2019. As far as the construction contracts, the Hobart Marsh mitigation, that work is ongoing. Their work within the next 2 weeks includes just invasive species removal, debris and fence removal, and then just the insertion of different fencing gates in the project area. As far as the in-project mitigation work, again, that work is also ongoing. Their expected work within the near future includes herbiciding and mowing for invasive species removal. At the last meeting, I had discussed the financial summary, and I said I would get back with you all on the total project cost because there were some inconsistencies. And so we did go back and take a look, and we've updated the total project cost to $265 million. That assumes that all the credits, as they are estimated, comes into play, and all of the construction projects come to fruition as they are. So that number is an estimate, and it could change at the end of the project based on the actual condition. Lastly, I wanted to give an update on the NDOT credits. So we talked about last month where the $14 million in NDOT credits had been submitted in April, and I'm ecstatic to report that approximately $10.9 million of that $14 million has been approved. I think that's pretty major. We're making really good progress, and the pending estimates are really coming down now that that's occurred. Another big one that's happening is Indianapolis Boulevard. That's the last of the $14 million that is under review, and we should be responding by the end of this month. That's all I have.
Any questions for Mrs. Mills and the Corps? Yes, sir.
Natalie, you mentioned that you guys are going to submit that report for the wall repairs, and you would expect funding. How long will that funding, how long will it take to get approved for the funding?
So my understanding is this is a pretty fast process. I can find out exactly when, but it sounds like it would be like this summer, and then we would be able to get started with the design, a scope, and then award it to a contract. So my understanding would be pretty fast.
And the second question I have is regarding Hobart Marsh.
Sure.
You have pending changes of $200,000 in addition to the $477 that's already been added to the contract.
Yes.
Do you have a breakdown of what that $200,000 is for?
So, if you look on the second page of the code you did, and you saw the 1A, B, and C.
Yes.
So you want me to break down A, B, and C?
I'm looking at like 1.B is 10,000. That's like 190 grand more.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's three changes. So, you see Quail Hollow, and Gully Kelly. Yes. So those three actions total the 200,000. I can ask them to lay out the three, how it comes up with this 200,000 exactly.
So I remember when this thing was awarded and we all started off, the initial budget was like 5.5, and it seems like before we're going to be finished, we'll be back to the initial sort of 5.5.
Yes, there has been quite a few changes. But I have to consider that it is a 340-acre site, and there is a lot of uncertainty for, you know, once you start the clearing, you begin to see things like these gullies that we couldn't identify when these the trees were there. So,
okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anything else for Mrs. Mills? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Lieutenant Kern, like to say something?
I'm fine, thank you.
All right. All right, moving right along. Your business.
Mr. Chairman, we've been talking about this for a while. Merrillville has come to us with a proposal to do some stormwater utility studies, and we asked them to expand that. I'd like to make a motion tonight that we go ahead and approve the Merrillville Stormwater Utility Meadowdale Lateral Floodwater Storage Basin application in the amount of $169,000.
Motion, is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion? Try to say that whole thing 10 times fast. What's happening with this is primarily engineering, Mr. Repay?
I think it's designing of the two, I think at least if I remember what I read, here are the two larger basins, 45 feet, acre feet of storage, and then you've asked them to look back further, and that area would be north, by Bailey Elementary and areas that sort of feed into Merrillville for possibilities for additional storage capacity that may be available. And I think that's the additional money that they've asked for and why you've sort of expanded their design.
Right, and this is just for the audience. It gets in Merrillville between Broadway and Taft along 61st Street. They have a real challenge there, and you know, this is part of the entire watershed. So an application came in from the town of Merrillville to be able to start working on alleviating that challenge. But because water, again, doesn't have any geopolitical lines, it's coming from a lot of different places. So that's what this one's all about, starting that process. Any other questions with regards to this? So there's a motion and a second. Mrs. Lambert.
Yes.
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 Dave
Castellano. Yes.
Ron
Ware.
Yes.
Lamont
Yes.
Yes. Moving right along.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we extend the licensing agreement with Maya Energy LLC until January 9th of 2019.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Discussion.
Yeah, Mr. Chair. I've, as a Gary representative, voiced my opposition to the project as a whole. I think one of the things of concern that I think would help us to clarify as we, whether we look at this project or look at projects in the future, I think one of the tracks that we have discussed, and I think it would have been helpful for this one as well, is if a interested party would, during a session or a committee or something to that effect, come before us and actually discuss what some of the ramifications or some of the what the layout of the project would look like. And it's not something that you know I know the details of in terms of from a intimate and personable standpoint from Maya Energy. So I think that that would be helpful structurally, not limited to Maya Energy in the future, in the event that we go forth and do projects. Whether we take care of a lot of business, and we don't always need to have committee meetings. So at times we do have ad hoc committee meetings or ad hoc study sessions and things of that nature. As the Gary representative, I know that there are other better projects that are out there that could go into this particular area, whether it was previously zoned as commercial for this type of a entity, or whether it is being rezoned for, whether it has to be rezoned for this type of a business entity. But this is not a plausible project for us in this particular region. I know I've seen these type of projects in other places. I think if you ride past Route 18 or 24 or 16 on the stretch between 65 and 41, you'll see something probably a little similar. But this is in a much more non-secluded, close residential area, and it's not a preference for a project in that particular area. So I wanted to make sure that I expressed my where I stand with that as a Gary resident, as well as a taxpaying constituent and a member of the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Anybody else?
Yes, I'd like to respond to Commissioner Yvonne Whitaker's comments. I stand in favor of my proposition for mere effect, because it's going to bring jobs to the city of Gary. 167.
Hey,
let me finish, please. And then the fact that it's going to bring over $10,000 to $15,000 a month to the city of Gary, that so surely that is needed for a lot of the operations that it has. And I see that now, as a general contractor, I've worked in the Lake County and at the Lake County jails, and I'm tired of seeing the young African Americans and Latinos in jail because they can't find a job and support their family, so they have to go out there and do criminal things and they get caught. The other thing I'm tired of is just today in my office, I had a young couple between the ages of, they might be between 18, maybe 23 years old, came to my office asking not only for a job, but they wanted to know if I could buy a TV set from them, because they can't find a job to live in the city of Gary, and they have to move. I'm tired of seeing people in my community that don't have jobs and opportunities. Maybe they may not have the skills or whatever, but this particular project would give them that opportunity. It's just not only it, and for the mere fact, this particular project is going to be a pristine. It's not going to be a hazardous waste.
Yes, it is.
It's not going to be. Let me finish. It's not going to be a hazardous waste project. It's going to be. It's a lot of technology involved for recycling. It's going to save the city a lot of money and a lot of opportunity. And I'm also a resident of the city of Gary and a taxpayer too. So I'm supporting this because I definitely see the future for us, where that's going to help us get going. I don't see any great projects come to the city of Gary, and we're losing, right now we're losing employment, we're losing people, our stores are closing down, I mean banks are leaving us. I mean we need opportunities, and we need commercial opportunities and that's going to support our city and the community that we live in. That's my position. Thank you.
On anyone else?
Mr. Chair.
Yeah.
Not necessarily in response to Commissioner Castellanos, but because by Robert Rules of Order, we have to address the chair. But just in addition to what I said earlier, when I left working at U.S. Steel, making a very good living and living in Gary at that time. I set up an office inside of Gary Neighborhood Services, and anybody know that that area is what's considered Midtown. And so there's a WIC office inside of there where, you know, the young mothers come in and get their assistance for women and children in need. So there's a lot of public service offices inside of the building, as well as a lot of youth and adult services inside of that facility. So everything, including energy assistance, NIPSCO energy assistance. So I had the opportunity to work with and see a multifaceted group of people, black, white, Latin, you name it, and come through that facility. And I too, as Commissioner Castellanos stated, I too would see a number of underprivileged folks. And one of the grants that we had was a fatherhood grant that served over 450 people. And we went inside Westville Prison and Michigan City Prison. And I just visited someone in there 2 weeks ago on a Saturday for about 3.5 hours. So I too know the ramifications of high unemployment of African Americans. And we were also at the Kimbrough Center as well in Crown Point. So I too know the sentiments of high unemployment and all of the implications that come along with it. Here's the problem, though, that I want the commissioners to understand and private entities to understand. You don't cascade up, you cascade down. And in that, when you talk about what currently exists, sometimes you can go up depending on what you initiate from the beginning. So if you initiate a rebuilding process that looks like hazardous waste, you can't go up from that. Only place that you can go is down from that. All right. So as a result of that, you begin to set the tone for who will look at coming to your city, coming to your region to actually do business. And so the proposition behind that, with this and the transparency, the lack of transparency thereof that I've seen, is not good. And as a minister of the gospel, and as a person who believes in a strong community, it's not something that is in the best interest for this community as it stands in terms of how they have presented themselves. Thank you.
Anybody else? They're not. Mrs. Lambert?
Yes.
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 No.
Yes. All right, moving right along. Next up is statements for the floor. This is my favorite part. Come up, help us with what's going on. State your name and address. 3 minutes, and we'll go from there.
Thank you. And as a young person living in an urban environment in America, I'm aware that having regular exposure to an environment like that is a rare privilege. The experience of many young people living in similar cities in America is that they're exposed to urban blight, heavy industry, and trash. As of now, we are already exposed to enough of that, with the relief being, well, the nature that we have all around us. I've camped here in Gary, and if there's one thing I know for certain, is that I want to have the privilege of being able to see a great blue heron without seeing it eating the trash that surrounds it. I want that for the future residents as well, some of them being my kids and future grandkids. The Little Calumet Trail offers us and the other residents of Lake County something that many others in urban areas find impossibly valuable. Recreation, leisure, exercise, education, wildlife, beauty, and finally a relief from the pollution that we Hoosiers experience as part of our everyday lives. What does the My Energy Project offer? Fake promises of wealth and notoriety. And as a future of Gary, I feel it is my job to express my concerns and protect this area. As stewards of the Little Cal, I feel it is your job as well as mine. All we ask of you is to do your job.
Hi, I'm Adrian Haskew from Steelton Academy. I'm 11 in the 11th grade. Do you recognize that My Energy's proposal is the total opposite of what your mission is? Land that is here for flood control cannot justifiably be handed over to a trash business pursuing private profit. Little Calumet River runs adjacent to thousands of acres of residential, business, and industrial property. It says on your website that your organization is to protect this land, the land that you're putting at risk by granting lease to a company like Maya Energy. Maya proposes to dump 40,000 gallons of toxic liquid into the city sewers every per day. More alarmingly, the application openly states that the liquid waste will only be being tested for the first week of the facility's existence. Testing will only take place upon request of IDOM, from IDOM. My concern is about what will happen when the quantity of toxic liquid overwhelms our city's municipal sewage waste system. Just last February, we saw water reach up to Maya's proposed site. I have concerns about what would happen after the land is provided. Where would all of the trash and toxins go after the water sweeps it away? Maya Energy is set to make private profit off of public land necessary for flood control. It is up to you to stop it. Do your job.
Good evening. I'm Dr. Daria Duppa from Highland. My concern is the protection of the water quality. A couple of weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go on a research vessel with IDEM. IDEM arranged it from Valparaiso and Grand State Valley University of Muskegon, Michigan. And we went off on a research vessel from the Hammond Marina. We went out 4 feet, and we researched 60-foot depth water. We looked at the silt, we looked at everything. My job was to measure the turbidity and conductivity. It was a marvelous opportunity. And that's actually done every year, and students should take advantage of that. But at any rate, we as scientists determined that the water quality is fairly clean, surprisingly clean for this part of the lake. Air pollution is another matter, but that is not the concern right now. But what you should be concerned about is that the Grand Calumet River area is the only basin in Lake County in Indiana that is actually an area of concern. In 1978, the Great Lakes Water Quality Agreement was established between the U.S. and Canada. The agreement identified 43 areas in the Great Lakes Basin that have impairments to one or more of the 14 ecosystems. The Grand Calumet River area of concern is the only area of concern in Indiana that is an area of concern. So you should really keep that in mind when you decide to grant this permit, because our water is fairly clean at the moment, but you're going to exacerbate it and make it worse. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time, and Mr. Whitaker, thank you for your words and for your stance they just put out a minute ago.
Please state your name, please.
Daniel O'Brien, I work at 2650 West 35th Avenue. So your work is incredibly valuable, and on behalf of the homes, businesses, the schools, and the ecosystem that all run adjacent to the locale. And so thank you for the intentionality that you've always put into that work, and I recognize the difficulty that oftentimes spring comments that may come from it. But it's that intentionality that makes me question why you're considering using the land to my energy. It's a project that is identifiably environmentally alarming. It promises to dump thousands of gallons of toxic liquid into a municipal sewage system of a city that's already under federal consent decree for violating the Clean Water Act. It's been rebuilding the land that, regardless of what the flood map said, has spent a significant portion of the last 2 years submerged or partially submerged. The smell alone is going to devalue everything that's immediately adjacent to it and that portion of the river trail. And for various reasons that I realize don't necessarily concern you, it's just a facility that is not needed in this part of the state. So my energy's project has nothing to do with your role as stewards of the Little Cat. It has nothing to do with flood control. So by supporting this project, you endanger the 2,000 acre area that you claim to create. I can't say, but my students already have. This doesn't seem to align with your role. I encourage you to do your role and to ultimately shut down this project. Thank you.
Good evening, gentlemen, and everyone else. My name is Carolyn McCready, and I am a citizen of the city of Gary. I'm a retired English teacher. I want to also thank Commissioner Whitaker for his remarks. I hope that some of you will reconsider. I hope that all of you will reconsider. This is a very bad idea. And I want to tell you, I don't know if you read in the paper or not, but Mr. Ventura recently approached the city of Lake Station with a very similar project, except it was for 55 acres of concrete to be spread to create a facility very similar to, to what they're proposing on 35th in Gary. And so he had come to the BZA for several months, and the BZA apparently told the city council that every time he comes, he changes his story. And we don't know what he's going to do, which is, if you look at their IDEM application, you'll see that it doesn't make any sense in many instances. And they have changed their story a number of times, including where they want to put, the address of this so-called facility. So what happened in Lake Station was that they said the BZA was just, they were flabbergasted, I guess, that anyone would come with a proposal of that magnitude and change their story all the time. So by the time it got to the city council and Mr. Ventura came before the city council, this was just, I think, about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, they said, "We don't even want to hear it. No, our answer is no, go away." Now, if people in Lake Station can see that this is a bad idea, and guess what? They were listening to the people around that live in the area. They were concerned about flood control and pollution, which is the same thing that we are concerned about. And, Jimmy Ventura can offer all kinds, he can offer the world, but this is a hot mess. It really is. And if you really take the time to look at their application, you will see that 9 garbage trucks coming down 35th Avenue an hour and dumping garbage, not recycling material, but garbage that's already coming from all of our homes, dumping it on the floor, and then somebody's going to go in and separate it. It's not going to happen. That's crazy. And 9 trucks an hour, 6 hours a day, 7 days, 6 days a week. I mean, how are the school buses going to get in? On top of which, 35th Avenue might collapse under the weight of all those garbage trucks. It's just a ridiculous idea, and it's very frightening. And I'm hoping that you will consider, or maybe even talk to the people in Lake Station about why they don't think it's a good idea. And hopefully you will reconsider your position. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yes, sir. Good evening. My name is Thomas Franklin with the Community Strategy Group, which is an environmental justice organization in Northwest Indiana. I reside in East Chicago. I want to thank the chair for clarifying the makeup of this board, to recognize that you are all from private and corporate interests. I think that's a real important distinction in why an authority like this will overextend their authority into economic development of an area that they have no reason to be doing economic development for, especially bringing a hazardous waste site in a community that is already overburdened with 164 hazardous waste sites, that is economically disparaged in a community of color. We know already that the mayor, the last IDEM meeting, has come out against this project. And to have this authority, who does not have a constituency, and to speak to that, thank you, Mr. Legend, for your words, I think that bodes badly for this commission and your work going forward. I think it bodes poorly for your admission for driving projects through this region when you're going to overstep and move into economic development. I apologize for you to the city of Gary on behalf of you, because I think this is a shame. I think you guys are shameful. Thank you.
When you talk about Maya Energy, everybody thinks about Jimmy Ventura. Don't forget, Matt Reardon is also part owner of Maya Energy. He's the husband of our state rep, and they're our public servants, and they're profiting off of our tax dollars and our public land. This is going to make them a lot of money. And you guys are going to allow them to build on the Little Calumet River Basin. That's for watershed, and it's going to cause more flooding if you add more. I'm just going to be repeating whatever everybody else just said. So this just gives me pause to think, why are you guys going to allow the lease agreement or the license agreement? Why are you guys doing this? So this is my question to Mr. Baker, because I know you're friends with Mr. Reardon. What is your cut from this deal?
Steve Trushin, I own Gary Bridge, which is an adjoining property owner to this site. I was the city engineer at Colbert for 17 years. I was in charge of planning and zoning in the building department as well as engineering. I have been trying to follow this project since 2016. This approval by you folks and by the city of Gary violated every possible zoning regulation that plan commissions and boards of zoning appeals and the city councils pay attention to every 2 weeks in every community. This was the worst public display of a government entity that I've ever seen. There was a petitioner who petitioned. He didn't have any standing to petition. He petitioned for somebody else's property when he didn't have any claim to the property. And the city gave him approval. The city didn't notify anybody properly. There was a wrong address on the ads, wrong address, which would have created the wrong set of adjacent property owners. I started after the city 2 years ago. Nobody ever... There was no public time, no public notification. This is against the law. I mean, I just can't imagine this going on any place. But it's going on. I've talked to the governor's office. I've talked to IDEM. I've gone down to Indianapolis. I've talked to the city of Gary. They don't. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. And there are so many technical flaws with this approval for the zoning thing that Gary did. I've got to challenge it. I can't sit by here and be an adjoining property owner and be treated like I've been treated by the city of Gary. And you folks could have stopped it tonight, but you didn't. No. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
My name is Linda Anguiano, and I'm from Hammond, and many of you have heard me before. I don't even know where to begin because I'm extremely disappointed by this decision. My only hope is this is an extension, and maybe you'll, in the last 11th hour, decide to do what's right. I understand about jobs. I understand about jobs for people of color, Latinos, African Americans, unemployed, but this isn't the jobs. These materials aren't even coming from Indiana. They're coming from Illinois. They're from construction sites. These construction sites in Chicago may have lead, asbestos, arsenic. Do we want another East Chicago, Indiana condition? Do we want another Flint, Michigan condition? Why is it always the people of color who bear these kind of devastating burdens? And for what? Does Gary need yet another toxic waste site?
No.
And I really wish that Mr. Rike would look at us when we talk. It would really be nice because there's so many of us. I know, but you can face the other way. At any rate, I just feel that we are unheard, and Mr. Whitaker's the only one who had a conscience to really look at what are these jobs? What kind of career path are they going to get? What is going to happen? Oh, we're sorry. Some of those toxic waste leaked into the Little Cal. Oh, we're sorry. The people who are dumping this trash on the concrete floor, they were exposed to lead and arsenic. And oh, we're so sorry. These African Americans who came for these jobs, now they're complaining about health issues. I mean, I don't even know where to start. I was going to read something from a contract. And it said that the air quality permit needed to be approved by June 1, or this agreement is null and void. Oh, funny, that agreement got signed after June 1st. Was it in the minutes? No. Was it at a meeting? No. There's so many suspicious things. And finally, I'm sure I'm close on my 3 minutes, I think it's a travesty that this is benefiting a gentleman named Reardon, Matt Reardon, who boasted that he's going to make millions on this. He boasted it at a meeting, a public meeting in Dyer, at the beanery, the coffee beanery. He's going to make millions on this. And his wife, Maria Candelaria Reardon, poor thing, who's in the newspaper for being sexually assaulted, she is the one who has helped grease the wheels for this kind of legislation to pass. It's a travesty all the way through the permit process, the legal process, and now this. We beg you, please, listen to your conscience and listen to the young people. The young, oh, they're people of color. Oh, they're residents of Gary. I think they might have a vested interest in this state-of-the-art facility.
Hi, I'm Diane Drochak from Highland, Indiana, formerly of Hammond. I grew up in this area my whole life. I think it's really clear how a big chunk of the public feels about this. I can get up here and make comments about how awful the project is, how environmentally unsound it is, how ludicrous it is for you to put it in this location. But I'm most appalled by the fact that you got up here and gave us your double speak from the get-go about, you know, your stewardship and your goodwill. And while there's good stuff that you guys do, it is going to be completely overshadowed and completely undermined. Absolutely everything, if you approve this project and if you allow it to continue. With the exception of Mr. Whitaker, I'd like to thank you for dissenting and being the sole voice of conscience. You know, you told me, Mr. Wyszynski, that, you know, this wasn't a political commission, that you were a commission for the people and that you were just people. No, you are businessmen and you are politicians. You're appointed by the government to fulfill a job supposedly for the public, of which you are not doing, because the public is speaking, and it is public property, and you are allowing private interests to operate on public grounds
in a watershed. You know, I think you need to remove stewardship from your charter because it is not what you're doing.
Carol Lamar, Whitey. I spoke before the committee last month, and as a 28-year member of National Audubon Society, I'm the chairperson of the Conservation Committee for the Dunes County and Audubon Society, and our area is Porter County and Lake County. This project is totally inconsistent with the millions of dollars that this commission is involved with in restoring habitat along the river. I'm in total solidarity with the school children who desire to be near nature and want to observe nature and learn about nature, because nature is healing. It heals us from all the other stresses that we have in life. And without nature, the stress of life is just too much. So the school that is near the Little Calumet, they should not be encumbered with this Maya energy, which is not a positive thing in their life. I mean, are they going to aspire to work at that plant? Is that what you're telling them, to get out of school and work in this plant? I don't think that's what we want, to set an example for these young children. I also wonder why this company, which has been involved with the commission since November 2015, keeps getting these extensions.
Right.
It seems that Matt Reardon, who's a politically connected person, as has been stated, that this company doesn't even sound legitimate to me. Like, is it a real company? Why do they need extension after extension after extension? It doesn't make sense to me, and I think you have to cut the cord on that, because this company isn't a viable company to deserve any kind of a lease. I think that, Mr. Whitaker, I really appreciated your comments. And since it was voted on, I think that his suggestion that you have an ad hoc committee formed is is a good one. I think there should be an ad hoc committee during this interim, because the lease is extended until January 2018. And that this ad hoc committee be that Maya attended, Mr. Matt Reardon attended, and that it be open to the public, so that this committee can, the public can better understand what is going on there. So I would back up his suggestion for an ad hoc committee. The commission set up such a committee so that the public can get involved. This, you know, once a company like this gets set up, a trash company like this, a recycling company like this, who's going to clean up after they close down? Because they usually do close down after a while. Yeah. I have a lot of experience in New Chicago as an environmentalist, and the landfills there and the dump sites for years and years and years and years are now, the city of Chicago is faced with billions of dollars in trying to restore those lands. Once it becomes a trash area like this company is, you can't clean it up. And that's not what the commission's job is. It's to bring in a company like this and then to, you know, who's going to clean it up afterwards? Is that in the lease when they decide to move on?
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, sir.
My name is Scott Holdison. I'm a resident of Highland, Indiana. Y'all have listened month after month to community member after community member come up to this microphone and speak against this project, speak against extending the lease. And you just gave all of us the extended middle finger.
Yes.
Yeah. Shame on you. Shame on you. Shame on each and every one of you. except Mr. Whitaker. That's awful. It's a stain on this commission, and don't think that it's going to go away. That stain is going to last with all of you, and we are going to be back each and every month until this lease is dropped. You will be hearing from us again and again and again until you do the right thing.
Yes, sir.
Good evening, Commissioners. I would like to change the topic a little bit here. My name is Eric Sprenn. I'm with the Northwest Indiana Paddling Association. I'd like to talk about two topics about the river. First of all, as you may recall from a previous meeting, the Northwest Indiana Paddling Association organizes a trip to paddle down the west branch of the Little Calumet River every spring. I didn't make the last meeting, so I'm providing my update for our May 20th trip. It was a cold and blustery day. The temperature was about 45 degrees, a big north wind. But nevertheless, 13 brave souls paddled the river, and we all had a good time to see what kind of nature the Little Calumet River offers to people who go out on little boats on the river. It's a great resource. I extended an invitation to all you guys to join us. I'm sorry none of you did, but it may be next year. One issue that we face, I think I've mentioned it before, is the silt coming down Hart Ditch and reclaiming the ancient riverbed going both east and west from the mouth of Hart Ditch. We had barely passable water levels on May 20th. And in normal summertime conditions, the ramp that was built just upstream of Kennedy does not function because you can't paddle a little boat in about 3 inches of water. And that's not going to be an issue that goes away. The second issue I would like to raise is one of Deep River. I know you guys approved the project to renovate the bridge to increase its hydraulic capacity just below Lake George. Hopefully there is consideration being given to passage by canoes and kayaks and small boats. A couple of years ago, Hobart installed an ADA accessible boat launch on the river. This year, I understand that Lake Station is doing the same. So if you have two accessible ADA launches, there's got to be some implicit understanding and promise that the river in between will be kept clear. Right now, that bridge underneath the railroad tracks is almost impassable for able-bodied paddlers, let alone those who might have some sort of a physical disability. Hopefully, in your plans to renovate that bridge, consideration will be given to passage by small boats. And one final comment. I think Mr. Baker opened with the statement that this is primarily a flood control project. Unless I'm mistaken, the original funding from the U.S. government was for a flood control and recreation project. While I understand flood control is important for residents who live in the watershed, you guys seem to be losing track of the fact that the original governmental mandate is for recreation. Part of recreation is clean water. And along with that, if the mandate is for flood control and recreation, I agree with Mr. Franks that economic development has no part of that. If you guys need the money, is this a question of needing more money? You guys increase taxes for all residents of the watershed. I forget what it is per household, $25 or $45 a year. Do you really need this lease to raise more money? Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello, Pam Eanes, Munster, Indiana. So my question is, now that you've gone down the slippery slope of allowing a building to be built on the Little Calumet Rivershed land, before you told me when I came here in January, you said that you've leased land before, and that was for billboards, and that was for cell towers. This is the very first time that you're going to be writing a license agreement for a building to be built on Little Calumet River Basin land. So, what is the next thing that you're going to allow being built? And where is it going to start at, stop at? This is a slippery slope that you guys are going down. You're not there protecting the water. You're not there protecting our homes from floods. Now you're about economic development. What happens when a chemical plant wants to build on the river? What happens when anybody else wants to build? You have no guidelines if you accept buildings or not. It's all for profit. You really need to think about what your mission is and what you're doing. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yes, my name is Terry Stiegel. I'm a resident of Highland. I'm also glad to see a couple of the Highland Councilmen here tonight, because they want to see what's going on with this reaction. I guess the first question I would have is, did you gentlemen receive this document already that was just presented to you?
I have.
Mr. Chairman, I have. Did all the commissioners receive the...
They have.
I mean, prior to the meeting.
Oh, I can't. I don't know.
Okay, because if not, then I guess one thing we probably need to look at is the communication process with the commission and the public. Because I did send this to Mr. Repay, Mrs. Lambert, Mr. Wickland, Mr. Ware, and Mr. Nimitz. Because I had email addresses to send that to them.
Okay. So
if we could get a email address on the website for each one of the commissioners, and that would be helpful when people trying to communicate, you know, where it would be through the website of the Little Calumet River Basin. That would be appreciated, first of all. So based on that, I want to go to my document. And what I've done here, I've tried to challenge the legality of the license agreement altogether, and I won't go through everything, but I guess, and for lack of time, if we had, maybe if I had 15 minutes, we'd go through the whole thing, but since we have the lack of time here, I'd like to direct you to the page 3, and it says, purposes of the chapter, and this is Indiana Code, and it's listed there, Indiana Code 14-13-2-4. Okay. The general purposes of this chapter are due to the following. Promote the general health and welfare of the citizens of Indiana. Well, it's very obvious this Maya deal doesn't do this, because we're promoting the citizens of Chicago, Illinois. And I don't think we need to be handling their garbage, because their main source for garbage is Chicago, Illinois. And it amounts to about 85% of their waste source. Then if you look further on number 2, as has been said earlier, provided for the creation, development, maintenance, administration, and operation of park, recreation, marina, flood control, and other public works projects, including levees. So I didn't see anything there about a private entity that's a for-profit entity that's going to take over this land and license it, lease it, or whatever they're doing. And then it goes on here further, number 3, create a commission with the authority to carry out the purposes of this chapter. So if we stick to the intent and purposes of this chapter, I think you've gone beyond the scope of your authority as far as what you're doing with the land. Then create a commission capable of entering into and fulfilling the requirements of non-federal interest. Okay, so I like I said, I think we've gone beyond the scope of what the commission needs to do. And then the last thing to wrap it up, I did give you guys a little suggestion that you did go to the Attorney General and you got a legal opinion on how to sell the land. And I think before we go any further, we need to go to the Attorney General and get an opinion on this Maya situation and get a legal opinion from the Attorney General before we all create a boondoggle that we don't want to get into and get this thing on course and let's do the right thing for the Little Cayman River Basin Commission here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, my name's Barbara Whitaker. I live in Munster. When I started coming here about my little issue about the levee wall 4 months ago, I never knew one thing about Maya. The only thing I knew is seeing this going on. So I started looking into it a little bit, not much, but I don't understand why Indiana has to be the dumping ground for Illinois. That's my biggest concern. When you look at the history of Indiana, how Illinois would never build on their lake. They wanted to destroy our dunes, all for jobs, money, industry, politicians, whatever. They took, watch the movie Shifting Sands, how they, the steel mills, and good for them. I mean, I'm a product, my father worked there, but look at our lakefront now with all those casinos on there. We should have beaches there, public property, not crummy, gaudy-looking casinos. So I just don't understand why Indiana wants to get Illinois' garbage unless it's for money, profit, and not for a few inexpensive jobs. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and opinions. The next meeting is going to be August 8th. Check the website as far as location. Again, thank you for participating and helping us move this along. Enjoy your summer. Motion to adjourn. Thanks.